Meeting of the Citizen Police Review Board to order. Everyone in attendance, welcome to this meeting. We work to bridge the gap between law enforcement and the community to help increase trust and accountability. For today's meeting, Andrew Fisher and Alex Hackworth, they have both relayed to Rose and I that they will not be attending, so they are excused. At this time, I would like to introduce our newest member of the board, Ms. Rhonda Carlson. And Rhonda, I'll give the floor to you to introduce yourself to us.
Well, I'm Rhonda Carlson. I am a native Colombian. I'm a boom baby, not a baby anymore. Lived here most of my life. I did live in California and Oregon for a few years, but have been in Colombia all of my adult life and most of my young life, and just wanted to get involved. Have tried to get involved in a number of boards over the years, have been involved in a number of task forces on affordable housing, fair housing throughout the years, and just was really interested in working with this board in Colombia.
Well, thank you, Rhonda. And again, welcome to the board. We look forward to working with you and also your input as we move forward. Now, at this time, has everyone had a chance to review tonight's agenda?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Is there a motion to approve the agenda?
I'll motion to approve the agenda. Blake and Rudolph.
Heckman McKenna seconds.
All right. All those in favor of approving tonight's agenda, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Nays? Passed unanimously. Next item, approval of our minutes and transcript from our February 12th, 2021 meeting. Have the members had a chance to review the minutes and transcript?
Yes.
Is there a motion to approve the minutes and transcript from our February 12th, 2021 meeting?
Gomez moves.
Is there a second?
I second. Cornelia Williams.
All those in favor of approving the minutes and transcript from our February 12th, 2021 meeting, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Nays? And any abstentions?
I abstain.
Ms. Rhonda Carlson abstains.
Carlson.
Moving on to our next item, positive connections and ride-alongs. Any member of the board like to share any positive connections or ride-alongs? All I have is I didn't get the officers' names, but I witnessed two officers help out a stranded motorist push his car into his driveway at Garth and Sexton. So that was kind of just drove by and gave him a thumbs up. Just keep traffic moving, but it was good to see them helping him out. So. Moving on to old business. First up is the community-oriented policing program.
Yeah, so Ms. Heckman McKenna and I have some good news on that front. Heather managed to track down the people who do the Police for Tomorrow program at Georgetown. So we have a meeting set with them for March 16th on sort of how their program runs. And hopefully after that, we'll be able to put together a budget and the full extent of the plan and hopefully have a new draft for you all in April.
That's really great to hear. I guess could you give us a quick little just summary of the Police for Tomorrow program? I'd like to know a little more about that.
So the Police for Tomorrow program is sort of what I based this program on. It's it has meetings and mentorship and has professors from Georgetown that teach these monthly sessions and other community members involved too. And it's, I think, a two-year long program. Is that right?
Yeah, that sounds right.
Was there anything you wanted to add?
No, just that it's affiliated with Georgetown Law.
And works with Washington. Yeah.
Well, yeah, thank you both for your continued work on that. I can't rave about your program enough. So that's really good to hear. We're going to have another draft forthcoming, and I'm looking forward to seeing it.
Great. Thank you.
Next up, diversity in the police department. We had four items on the agenda that were shared with us. Any discussion on what we reviewed?
You know, one of the Heckman McKenna speaking, one of the things that we were requesting with that information was kind of diversity-specific recruiting measures. And I didn't really see anything in those materials. It kind of like laid out where the postings are going up, but didn't really specify like how they are trying to approach the diversity aspect of it. While of course the number of applicants obviously don't tell the whole story, again, we are showing percentage-wise that there are consistently a higher percentage of African-Americans applying for the department than the percentage of people in our city. So it's just I think, one data point in what I'm sure is a much bigger conversation.
I know I spoke with Chief Jones at the council meeting at the beginning of the month, and he told me there was a recruitment plan that was sent to him, but he sent it back for further refinement. So I believe that we will see this plan at some point, but it's still a work in progress from what he told me. He was hoping to have it to us before this meeting, but it didn't happen. Did I miss anything on that, Sergeant Alpers? And anything further on the diversity in the police department? Then next up, a status update on the audits. We are almost done. Andrew, Alex, and I have been working with Sergeant Alpers on the audit. We have just the 2019 and 2020 years to go through, and now that we've kind of caught up with modern time, we kind of know where everything's at. Hoping to have that completed next week. I'm waiting on Andrew and Alex to give me their availability for our final meeting with Sergeant Alpers. And then in April, I plan to kind of present a little mini report on the audit. Right now, a little preview for you. The biggest thing I've seen is that it would be nice to have our letters to the complainant and then any letters from the city manager in the police file, so we would have a complete file rather than what we have right now is our investigation is in the police file and our letter to the chief, but then everything else is kind of scattered.
I'm sorry, can you repeat that?
To ensure, like right now with the files we've been reviewing, the biggest thing they don't have are the letter from this board to the complainant, and then also if the city manager, if there was any appeal to the city manager, we don't have that in the files, with the police department anyway.
The appeals to the city manager would be handled by the city manager's office, so those records would be in the city manager's office.
Yes, but it would just be, it'd be helpful for future audits if the police also had copies of those letters, so that way we'd have everything when we did our audits.
They would receive from, the police chief would receive the city manager's decision letter, so he could at that point put that in the file along with, you all send, when you make your recommendation, you send a letter to the chief, but it wouldn't necessarily be the individual letters to all the people.
Yeah, and part of our audit process is making sure those letters all were sent out, but since we have to like move to different avenues to find it, if we can have it all in that police file, it would streamline the process, is what we kind of have been concluding.
What you're saying, Rose, is it's a whole separate issue.
Process.
It's a whole separate process than what we're doing. So it would be maintained separately always.
It is currently right now maintained separately. So if you wanted to do that, basically it would be creating a process where there'd be a courtesy copy of the record, but then that wouldn't, courtesy copies are not necessarily subject to records retention. So the state records retention requirements would apply to the record keeper. So for example, at the police department, they have a designated record keeper. For the board, I'm the designated record keeper in the law department. For the city manager's office, they have a designated record keeper. So as far as typical city processes is we try and make sure that the designated record keeper keeps the record and anything else is just a courtesy copy.
because courtesy copies aren't necessarily subject to that. It would be very difficult to, it would be easy to make a courtesy copy.
That's what I'm not talking about changing who actually is in charge of the record officially. It's just simply making sure that if we had it all in that one place, it doesn't need to be the official record, but just making sure there's a copy. Because we were jumping between the board website to see our letters to the chief, and we didn't, there was no electric copy with the police. But we still had access to it, just I feel like if we had it all in that one place, it's easier for us to conduct our audit that way. But we don't need to change who actually is the official record keeper. It's just a courtesy copy, making sure it's forwarded to the department as well so they have a copy.
So in essence, what you would want from me is you would want me to send, when you sign the letters to all the people, the city manager, the police chief, the officer, the complainant, you want copies of all those letters to be an attachment to the chief's letter? Because then the chief could then put it in the internal affairs file, or does he put them in internal affairs files, or do they get filed with the chief's office?
No, that's kind of what we discussed, is that we would have to get with you to get all those extra letters, if that's what they so desire. So we don't, and you know this, we don't get all that stuff, so.
Yeah, we can work on the process of how to make it happen, just that was always like the biggest glaring thing was not having, we couldn't just look at the complete case file just from doing the audit of the CPD file because they didn't have that.
Yeah, I mean, technically you're auditing their files for compliance with the code. So if you wanted to do an audit of your files for compliance with the code or the city manager's records, that would be a separate pieces.
Yeah, but also it's nice just having it all in one place. That's.
But she's saying technically it's not part of the audit.
No.
It's just a nice thing.
Right.
Yeah, it helps us get a whole picture at once versus going through multiple avenues to figure out how the case ended. But that'll be something more of, after we do our final audit, and I'm gonna put something together for the April meeting, and we'll figure out how to move forward from that, but that was the biggest thing that popped out while we were doing this. Anything further on, I guess, any more discussion on the audit from any member of the board? Next, we have the recommendation letter regarding foot pursuit training and request for video and curriculum. Has everyone had the chance to review the video?
Yes.
Any discussion on what we've seen so far?
I have a couple of questions. I'm not sure that we'll be able to have them answered tonight, Sergeant Alpers. You know, we got the video, which is looking great, but will there be sort of training that goes alongside that? Is it just the video? How does that work?
Are you talking about like practical training?
Yes.
Not that I'm aware of. No, there won't be any practical training.
Okay. Is there like any sort of discussion that'll happen, or is it really just a presentation of the video?
It's an online training, so it's a, you know, they send it out via Power DMS, which is our mechanism for doing that. So, I mean, it wasn't in our in-service training.
Okay, so the officers would sort of just get the video.
Correct.
Okay.
And there's an accompanying PowerPoint with it that, you know, I think I put it all in there, so.
Okay. I don't remember what was on the separate PowerPoint. Do you remember?
I didn't see a separate PowerPoint, but what the video that I watched had like the voiceover with the PowerPoint.
Had it built in.
Yes,
correct.
Okay,
yeah.
Great.
So
okay.
All built into one.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, so I just had a couple of thoughts as I was watching it. The notes at the end about how 20% of critical injuries happen to officers during pursuit really points to sort of how intense that aspect of their job is. And there wasn't as much conversation about sort of adrenaline's effect on use of force at the end of foot pursuit training, which is one of the things that, those were both the things that I was concerned about initially when suggesting foot pursuit training, right? The danger to the police and the danger to, you know, the other person. So I was wondering, and I guess there isn't, but it seems like some sort of practical training that takes into account, you know, those factors or discusses the critical injuries more at length would be nice in an ideal world.
That's kind of the perspective that I had too. This is a really good start, right? It's laying out the theoretical foundations, but it really is more of a PowerPoint with a voiceover. And I was wondering about like actual, again, practical elements and the actual tactics used, or you know, some training involving those practical elements. And this particular training video just didn't really do that.
No, I also kind of had thoughts about if there was going to be a practical training. If there was going to be a practical training, I wanted to be able to attend and see it. But, you know, COVID further down the line. But that's something I would like to see at some point, Sergeant Alpers, if the police ever do like an actual like practical training for the foot pursuit. I'd just like to see how it plays out.
Okay. Just for my thought process, what would you, as far as practical training goes, how would you like that, or what would you envision that to look like? I'm just trying to think of the practicality of practical foot pursuit training, and so I can pass this on to our training folks. I mean, what does that look like to you? What does it involve? What does the end result look like? So we got to take into consideration injury, and can we get everybody through this training at in service in a practical amount of time. So that I'm just wondering, so I can pass this on to training.
Yeah, I mean, I can start, you know, and obviously I'm not a trainer. Like right. The police department has hired trainers. That's their whole job. So I can't really speak to a lot of elements of that. But when I came in to see you, Sergeant Alpers, and you showed me practically how a bunch of different things worked. That's the type of thing that I think would be more useful, is seeing like in practical applications how scenarios might play out and how people might respond to those scenarios.
Right. Okay, because I envision things and from a generalist instructor standpoint, and that so I think about we start a foot pursuit in a training scenario, and we chase after them, and there could be so many variations that, so we'd have to kind of come up with a broad, this is what you should be looking out for, this is, these are the dangers, here's potentially what could happen. But okay, I see.
Yeah, and you know, I think again, all this stemmed back to a couple of Ms. Gomez's, Dr. Gomez's original kind of concerns with the foot pursuit training, and this particular video, you know, didn't really address those either.
Right.
And so, you know, I just think, you know, again, much like you were showing me how certain things worked. Obviously, we know we can't predict every possible thing that could happen, but I think just a core of basic tactics, basic practical tactics, could be very useful.
Okay, I can pass that on to training.
Also an emphasis towards sort of the specific, I think, key points here, which is the injury to officer being a focus, and the, you know, possibility of what the effects of adrenaline on officers are at the end of a foot pursuit.
Right.
I even thought, thinking, the appeal we heard last year that kind of pushed us into this foot pursuit training, almost just having officers watch foot pursuits and identify what was a good practice, what was a bad practice, what could be improved, what was good practice, stuff like that, almost reviewing foot pursuits you have on body cam just to see what are the do's and don'ts.
Right. Very good.
Anything further on foot pursuit training? Next, the training calendar request. This is also an update I got from the chief at the city council meeting at the beginning of the month. He received a copy that also he thought was not as complete as could be, and he sent it back. He hoping to have a finished one before this meeting, but it did not happen. So we're waiting for the next version of it to come forth.
Which year will that be for? Just the coming months then, or like for the next year, or like when they say is finished as they want it to be, what length of time are we talking about?
No, when, because March 1st was what he had set as a finalization date, and he got what was supposed to be the final copy, but it was missing things that he wanted. I'm not quite sure what the actual time frame is for this training calendar. Where does it begin and end?
You probably have more information about that than I do.
Okay, so we don't know.
Yeah,
okay.
I'm going to keep checking in with him because he understands we've been requesting this for a while now, but it was sent back on March 1st, and he's waiting for another copy.
The chief is scheduled for next month for his, you know, twice a year meeting with you all.
Yeah, I'd really like to have it before that so we can ask questions about the calendar.
And that's another thing that I just think about when it comes to that calendar is, even if it's not complete, it might be still useful for us to see what's on it, understanding that it's not complete yet. I don't know. All that to say, like, I would be more than happy to see a draft.
And next we have disparity index and related data.
I think Mr. Hackworth is taking the lead on that now, but it looked like a number of interesting documents that I hope we get to hear more about and discuss at length when he's here.
I guess was it clear to you, Rose, it was Josh? Is this Josh? Okay. Yes, could we address it now? Yep.
Could you go the microphone? Thank you.
My name is Joshua Egan.
A-G.
Mr. Egan, welcome.
Thank you. It's nice to meet you all. I think the main thing I guess I have to offer is I've been working on putting together a data dashboard to present the traffic stops data that Columbia releases. This is the same data that is posted on their website as separate, I believe it's CSV files. But basically what I have in mind is taking the traffic stops throughout the city and overlaying them on a map to where basically you can just click on different sections of the city. So you could like divide it into different types of sections. Like you could use census blocks, census tracts, or police beats. And basically you could zoom in and click on them for more information about the traffic stops that happen in each of those areas. So you can embed that in a website or an app. And I was just thinking that would be a helpful thing in the spirit of accountability and citizen oversight of policing activities.
And email from Alex, he was also talking, I think you guys are working with a few other university economists, data scientists, working on, do you guys have a timeline in place for the project, or just we're very much the rough beginnings right now?
It's in rough beginnings, so I'm currently working with a University of Missouri economist named Eric Parsons. He has worked with the committee sometimes confused with the other.
The Vehicle Stop Committee?
That's the one, yeah. He and also another economist named Dr. Milo, Jeff Milo, each produced analyses of the Vehicle Stops Report. And Eric Parsons has offered his time in mentoring me through working with this data to screen it for different types of things that would be indicators of malpractice.
No, from what Alex has said, it looks like an exciting project. I'm looking forward to seeing where you all go with it. Other questions for Mr. Egan from the board?
Just a note to say thank you. I mean, this, you know, I played a little bit with the file or the interactive files that were sent over to us, and it was really neat even just playing with what's there so far. So I'm excited to see what this turns into. And thanks for your work on it.
Thank you. Really quickly, one thing I was just going to ask if there's a quick second, if you all have time, is there anything y'all would be interested in seeing, like, on a map? Like, what aspects of traffic stops are you, like, curious about? Or it's okay if you don't have an answer right away, but that's kind of what's fueling, I guess, the next steps of my project.
I mean, I was particularly interested in equipment violations and odor searches specifically.
Then also, I think we'll go ahead and just keep that in mind. If anyone has anything, please email Rose, and she'll get the information out. I'm looking forward to seeing where you guys go.
Perfect. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming. And that next SAS update had to do with the vehicle stop committee. Last I knew was Alex had the information with the chair of the committee, but I'm not quite sure what's happened since then. Have you heard anything further about that from Alex Rose? I think we'll wait till next month when we get an update from himself. And now we have a status update on the moonlighting data request. Has everyone had a chance to review the information that was passed on to us? And open the floor to discussion about the data we've seen.
I guess I can start. I just noticed that, like, some of the hours were pretty high, like some up to 30 hours a month or more. And I do not have enough information about how a lot of these very specific like HR matters work. But it strikes me that, you know, the department is kind of chronically understaffed. We all know that. It's a big problem. One question that I had that maybe we could talk to Chief Jones about next month is if it would be possible to have officers doing more hours with the police department itself if they want to do extra work instead of working elsewhere with that time. So just food for thought.
Sergeant Alpers, did that report include overtime? So this would have been work done in addition to possible overtime.
Okay. So this is for, and I'll talk about my hours. I worked 5 jobs in a year period for 27 hours. So that was at Walmart during Black Friday, and I think another place that I worked. So does not include overtime at the for the city at the police department, so not in a patrol car. So does that answer your question, Rose? Kind of getting
right. I just want to make sure they understood that those hours would be in addition to any, you know, the full-time status plus any overtime the officer's doing. That report would be on top of all of that.
Right. And I would assume
you
were
looking at.
I would assume that report would have to come from finance or somebody over there.
And when it comes to because the way the overtime works too, like, isn't there like a, there is a cap at some point, isn't there?
So there's a cap on both ends of it. So I can't work more than 16 hours in a day, regardless. Then you can't work more than so many hours off duty at these, I don't like to use the word private security, but hired as a a security for some of these places for more than so many hours per week. And there's built-in safeguards, I guess you could say, through the policy.
So these are like, you said like Black Friday, so these are like special events we have in town as well, those kind of things, those kind of securities, or like back in the day when IHOP had a police officer that was one
right.
of these kind of jobs?
So like IHOP and security at the mall, security at Walmart, just places, private businesses that want to hire off-duty officers to work for X amount of hours. Like for example, the mall hires two officers Friday and Saturday to work 4 hours. So just for extra security.
And on the report, could you, I guess, maybe I'm just missing what it means, but it had the asterisk saying totals in red indicate that minimum hours are in effect for one or more details in this range. It's just what does that refer to?
Not sure.
Okay, yeah.
This came from Sergeant Allen, who is the gatekeeper responsible for off-duty hours, and he generated this report, it looks like. So.
Okay, well, yeah, if you can find out what that means or have him get in contact with me. I was just curious what that meant. Any further discussion on the moonlighting data? The next we have a status update, a council report regarding televising meetings and changes to 2146C.
I believe you are being televised.
Yeah, you're right. there I am right there. So I guess, yeah, we are televised now, everyone. And now moving on to new business. Has everyone had a chance to review the notice proposed amendment to Article 1, Section 3 of the bylaws?
Yes.
Yes. And for purposes of clarification, you cannot vote on this tonight. This is just the notice. You would vote next month.
And just a little clarification for why that's on there. This is Vice Chair Williams. This is her last meeting. And being one of only two NACOL certified members of this board, with her leaving, that would mean Andrew Fisher is the only person who could be the vice chair since I am not NACOL certified. Since Andrew is not here right now, we can't really discuss it with him, but I didn't want him to feel forced into having to take the vice chair if he didn't want to be in leadership again. So amending it like this opens the floor to anyone else being vice chair. So that's kind of why that's on there tonight. Something to think about. As Rose said, we can't vote on it till the April meeting. But it is, yeah, right now, if as it currently stands, Andrew would be the only one who could be vice chair. And any further discussion on that? All right, moving on to general comments by the public. Please, if anyone would like to make some remarks, please come forward. Good evening, Councilmember Fowler.
Good evening. Boy, is it nice to be on this side.
And just for our court reporter, just please state your name.
Oh, yes, my name is Pat Fowler. I live at 606. I'm coming to the podium to let you know that I have some efforts in parallel with yours as to the extra hours that is tracked by the administrative sergeant within the police department. Early on, I sat down with the general manager of the mall who explained to me how the system works. And there is a software package that's run by an external organization, and they post these extra duty. And that means the officers are acting as police officers. They're going to use their police training. They're going to wear their uniform. They're going to have their service revolver with them. So he explained to me how that worked. And I then went to the city manager and asked for three pieces of information, which is being gathered. And this is because it touches upon what you've asked for, too. I wanted to let you know what my efforts were. So the labor unions come forward for a pay increase. So I asked to see everybody's W-2s, knowing that that would include the overtime work that they're already doing as a at their day jobs as a Columbia police officer. Then I wanted to see the list of what the administrative sergeant is tracking so we can see how many hours are being utilized through that administrative third-party software. And my concern there is the exhaustion factor of working a full job and then working an additional job. There's financial incentives for our officers to work those additional jobs because they come at varying rates of pay. And no one could answer for me yet what those varying rates are, but I would suspect that it is in line with what their day job pays or perhaps even a little more. Sergeant Alpers could tell us whether or not he was paid at a rate. What was the hourly rate when you worked those hours?
It was higher than what I make per hour.
So there is a financial incentive if you have time in your life to sign up for these additional shifts of extra duty hours. And because of the numbers that are in the negotiated bargain for contract, which is, yes, no more than 16 hours in a day, but no more than 60 hours in a pay period for this extra duty. Now, you do have to qualify for extra duty by being in good standing with your supervisor. There's some other, you have to be out of probationary, you have to be through training. But that sounds like a lot of exhaustion to me. And I suspect that that's why you're asking as well. So
that is exactly why I asked.
So let's do that together. And when I meet with the city manager on Monday, council Mondays, I have time with the city manager. I'll let him know that since you're on this parallel path, concerned about exhaustion, that I want to combine my efforts with yours so we can look at that more critically.
Because I felt like that exhaustion could affect their decision making, their ability to fully and functionally be able to do their job, especially in a foot pursuit moment, especially in a high intense moment. I don't care what you say, if you are exhausted, you may not be 100% up to par. And I was greatly concerned with that.
I share your concern. So I just wanted to let you know that, boy, am I always appreciate in these kinds of endeavors where there's going to be a lot of data to have company with it, because another set of eyes is always a good idea. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for that update.
Thank you.
Fowler. Good evening, Mr. Lovelady.
Good evening, how are you? My name is Roy Lovelady. Roy, R-O-Y. You're welcome. So I've actually missed a few meetings, but I had a few questions because the last time I was here, we was talking about chokehold and the training for chokehold. Do we know any extra information and or about that? And also, I wanted to know about the foot pursuit training. I had a slight answer to the question that he asked earlier, like what would it look like? And I agreed with looking at the videos of previous encounters, both good and bad, and seeing what officers thought of the foot pursuit training, as well as some case scenarios. So real case scenarios, if you could probably incorporate if a dog attacked during the pursuit training, or if they ran into someone's house, because I've seen a plethora of things happen during foot pursuit training. I'm from a small town where foot pursuits happened a lot. And in one instance, someone ran into my mom's house and hid. So, I mean, it's a lot of different scenarios that happen. So you have to have a clear mind and have played some of those ideas out when you're in those kind of instances. So, and that was one thing that I wanted to say about the foot pursuit training. And
I agree with you, because if you're in a foot pursuit moment and you have weapons with you that could kill someone and take their life, there needs to be training in just about every scenario that you could think of and even try to stretch your brain and think outside that box and still train in that, because I'm looking at it, I'm not saying that the police need to be on the same level as someone in the military, but you kind of got to think that way. You got to be able to think of every scenario that could possibly even happen and put that officer in as many different situations and scenarios so that it becomes second nature. He doesn't have to think. He doesn't have to wonder. He doesn't have to ponder. It just comes to him automatically.
Yeah, and so I definitely agree with that. And I know that that's a hard thing to do with, especially COVID right now, because COVID is a good excuse for everything when it comes to, like, contact right now. But we have to get past COVID. Get your shots, and let's institute some real training and get back to what we say our job is, and that's protecting the community. Last but not least, I wanted to make sure that I said, I will be so sad to see Cornelia leave this board. It is really, really a sad day for me, because I feel like you are the voice of the Black community. When you leave, there will be no Black and brown person on this board. I pray, and I don't know if City Council hears this or sees this or reads the minutes. I know Pat Fowler does. But please let the next person be another ethnic person.
Because you know why I'm leaving, so.
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. And any further comments from the public? Comments from the board?
I know I do. Sorry. Go ahead.
I just had two quick comments. I wanted to give a shout out to Ms. Heckman McKenna for the amount of work that she's been doing for this police program. And a lot of it has gotten done because of her recently, so I appreciate that. And I also want to say, Ms. Williams, I will be incredibly sad to see you go.
Thank you.
And I've appreciated everything you've done here. You were here when I got here and provided a lot of guidance, so I really appreciate that.
You're welcome.
I'm going to continue the echo. I really am sad to see you go. And I'm also going to kind of repeat what Roy Lovely said in hopes that other city council members are going to watch this. And I know Pat Fowler is in here as well. I agree that I'm hoping that our next member that gets in your footstep is going to still be someone of the minority, because I agree that we need to have those on this board in order to keep us in check and make sure that we are providing for all of our community. So I am hoping the city council follows through with that as well.
And I'm going to keep showering some praise on you, because it was the day I was fighting. I didn't want it to happen.
He really was.
I need you. But yeah, you've been there for me since I first joined this board. When I had questions, you were always there to answer them. You were always a guiding voice. Your passion, it's unrivaled, and it's going to be big shoes for the next board member to fill. And
thank you.
I hope as well that this was a board that was brought into existence by the Black community of Columbia, and to have it not have any voice from the community of color would be, I believe, a disservice to the history and the community. And I hope that. I hope that, yes, the city council hears this. I hope people apply. We're losing our most passionate voice, and I hope that we have someone who can fit in your shoes. So thank you so much for your service.
Thank you.
Oh, and one other quick thing. This is actually for Ms. Gomez and Ms. Heckman McKenna. You both got a shout out at the city council meeting by Councilmember Scalal. I apologize if I messed up his name. Councilmember Scalal, am I saying it right?
Scalal.
I'm so sorry, I cannot say his name right. But Councilmember Scalal, he talked about a meeting he had with the two of you. He said it was highly productive, and talking with the two of you gave him a lot of renewed hope in this board. And what you two are striving to do. So, you two are representing this board to an exceptional degree. So thank you both.
Thank you. I'm glad to hear that.
Thank you.
Travis had one other
yes.
comment. Mr. Boykin brought up a suggestion a couple months ago, and we talked about it when we had our work meeting with City Council about being on elected office or campaigning, or and it brought it up and talked about it, but then it never was brought up again, never talked about again. Do you know the status of that or what's happening?
We have sent a report to council on that, haven't we, Rose?
Yes.
Yeah, so we're just waiting to hear back.
I know you talked about it with council when you had your joint meeting.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then it's, since they've had two city council meetings since, and nothing's been talked about since.
Is would it, should we resend it?
I mean, you could send another report if you'd like.
Okay, yeah, I'd be happy to send it, see if we can get the wheels moving on that.
And I just had a question about the, I know at one of the city council meetings, maybe not this past one, but the last one, they wanted the law team, I guess, to look at the ability or what our reach is basically for the board. And they were going to review all the, I guess, bylaws or, and I don't know what the status is on that as well. Dollar, do you remember that request? I'll send it out.
And any further comments from the board or staff?
Do you want to appoint a new member to the outreach subcommittee? Or do you want me to put that on next month's agenda for consideration?
Well, is there anyone who would be willing to join the outreach committee? So Andrew and Alex are already on it, right?
And so am I.
So the motion passed was a subcommittee of four with a quorum of three. And you're now at three. I could put on next month's agenda and people could think about it.
Oh, yeah. Let's just move it to next month. And if there are no further comments, our next meeting will be April 14th, 2021. Is there a motion to adjourn?
I motion.
I'll second.
All those in favor of adjourning this meeting of the Citizens Police Review Board, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Passed unanimously.